Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library Podcast. This is a special edition. We haven't done one of these in, about a year or so.
A year, I think.
Originally, we called it Tech Corner, but basically, we want to introduce a few of the hottest prop tech companies out there, companies who have been raising a lot of money, who have raised a lot of money, who are making a difference in the space right now. And I think the objective would be to, number one, give you our take on it. Is this going to actually impact the industry? What does this make us think of? And hopefully just make you think about something a little bit differently. And in our industry, our industry is archaic. Like if you're like myself and like Garrett, when you entered the industry, you kind of come in with all these big ideas, and slowly but surely those get eroded away and you kind of start doing things the way that you see the senior brokers doing it or the senior people.
The tried and true methods.
Yeah. Like, well, I remember one time came into the office. This is like 5 years ago. No disrespect is elite. So no disrespect to them. But I remember when he came in and he goes, have you guys heard about Google Ads?
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, of course. But I think that exemplifies, you know, where our industry is sometimes and how things are just always done the usual way. So it's important to think about innovation. So we're going to rattle off four companies. Again, we're going to try and make this series a bit more regular. This is going to be a quick episode. So why don't we dive into the first one?
Yeah, for sure. So the first one that we got is a company by the name of Avid Bots. This was founded in 2014 in Kitchener, Ontario. Avid Bots creates autonomous drones, and for the sake of this one, they are creating autonomous floor scrubbing robots. So they operate as part of facilities management. They clean the floors 24/7, hospitals, industrial spaces, commercial spaces, the like, and they are looking to utilize robotics and reshape how facilities management operates, bringing costs down, increasing the efficiencies of a space, basically. Mm-hmm.
And these guys have raised how much money?
They've raised $144 million to date, and they were also on Deloitte's Fast 500 tech startups for global.
And this is as you described it to me. These are robots that, like, if you think about those little self-cleaning robots in your house, it's just, yeah,
imagine a Roomba on steroids.
Right.
You know, where it picks up everything, cleans everything. So, you know, robotics, I guess, is something that is a large wave that's coming down the pipeline that's going to heavily impact, you know, whether it be facilities management, industrial spaces, commercial spaces, and the like, where, you know, are we going to end up changing the way that we build spaces to better accommodate robotics, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, you can think about what's happening in this day and age. Elon Musk has announced his humanoid robot, which he thinks in the next couple of years will be replacing many of the factory workers.
Yeah.
And it can see the world, learn. And you think about many of these industrial facilities, their largest cost is the people, and that's why they choose to locate their facilities in certain regions. They say, okay, we got a good labor force here. It's a huge consideration. So it'll be interesting as these robots become smarter, what does that mean for the workers? What does this mean for the efficiency of these operators? And you brought up a great point, like even just thinking about self-driving logistics. You know, I don't know if we have an ETA on when that'll start hitting the road, but
yeah, that'll completely change basically everything. Costs hopefully will go down at that point, just with the efficiency of robots pretty much impacting everything from, you know, the beginning, the construction of the goods, to, you know, the fulfillment of the product in, you know, whether it be a grocery store or you know, a shop shelves type of thing. Because if you have robots touching every part of that.
So, by the way, we had a particular focus on Canadian companies. So many of these are founded in Kitchener, somewhere in Canada.
Yeah. Not just around Kitchener.
We got a housing crisis. We got a housing crisis everywhere. So, okay, speaking of housing crisis, let's move on to the next one. CarbonCure, carboncure.com. Should I just read this? On average, producers of CarbonCure Ready Mix reduce cement content by 4 to 6% with no compromise on cement quality or performance. They raised $125 million.
Yeah, so this company, what they do is they, again, small sidebar, they're founded in Halifax, 2007. But what they do is they inject carbon dioxide into concrete mix and decrease the amount of materials required in order to create concrete, as well as, you know, some ESG, environmental carbon capture device, without compromising the quality of the concrete or the structural integrity of it. So this is saving, the whole pitch is that this is saving concrete manufacturers. And, you know, 4 to 6%, it's not a huge margin, but it's something, especially when you're shipping out, you know, 500,000 metric tons of it on an annual basis. So the point of this is that, you know, it's also a climate-based solution. This, I think, currently CarbonCure pumps out 500 million metric tons of carbon dioxide a year, which is equivalent of, you know, 100 million cars that are basically being taken off the road in terms of deploying the carbon CO2 into the concrete mixes.
Like, what I was thinking about with this one, especially, it's interesting to see that these guys are already very scaled. Like, they're,
yeah, and they're, these guys are already global. They have a lot of facilities in the United States, but they also have facilities in the United Kingdom and throughout Europe as well.
So one thing to think about, I remember when I was speaking at the apartment conference, we were talking a lot about this, because many people say, well, cost to build, it's actually coming down. I think that's the general intuition, as inflation subsides gradually. That's not actually what's happening. What's happening is it was escalating so quickly, and now the rate of increase in cost to build has slowed to more of a gradual incline, but it's still going up, and it's not like costs have come down. So any way to shave off a few percentage points on your costs is a huge factor. And one other thing, because we were talking about this on a deal that we did, ESG, I had always thought about ESG, maybe many of you, ESG is some, you know, gobbledygook bullshit. and that's what I thought, because, you know, not in terms of, yes, you need diversity in your staff, you want to have a positive societal impact and the environment's great, but at the end of the day, we care about dollars, right? Typically. Mm-hmm. So I had always thought that it was kind of just, oh, it's something greenwashing. It's some BS that corporations say to satisfy whomever. And then we're doing a deal, and I, you know, on the lending side, it seemed like it was a tiny bit easier to get financing because we had some of those ESG considerations. So you think, oh, wait, we were actually able to get a significantly better loan, or at least a few percentage points, because there's funds allocated to ESG. Mm-hmm. And whether it be affordable housing, diversity, inclusion, that sort of thing. I think we checked a few boxes on this deal that we did. We can talk about that later. But it's interesting. So I guess that's a note to the audience. Don't discount ESG, because it will actually impact your bottom line, especially as we move past 2023 into 2024. There are massive funds for affordable housing, for anything that has a positive impact on the environment, whether you think that's a good thing or not. Mostly, I'm sure you think that's a good thing, but it's a huge consideration. So companies like this, CarbonCure and Halifax, you can only expect them to grow significantly in the near future.
Yeah, they're offering that ESG angle that a lot of businesses are obviously more attracted to, which gives an edge, as well as decreasing cost on the manufacturing side by bringing down the requirement of the basic materials in order to make the concrete. And they also give you carbon credits, which you're able to sell on the market and get more money, hence save more money.
Beautiful. Why don't you tell us about DIRT? Or actually, you know, sorry, I'm moving too fast. Can you just share a little bit about that story that is going to become a epidemic?
Yeah, so this was an article that was a research study that was released by the UN. And it's been sort of commented on by most major news outlets, but most people haven't really paid too much attention to it. But the UN is saying that this is going to be a major issue that's going to be coming down the pipeline in, say, 10 to 20 years, which is the shortage of sand. And specifically, not just any type of sand, not your beach sand, it's construction sand. Where, you know, when I originally read this article, I was like, it's an all sand, and apparently it's not. Construction sand is the sand that you find at the base of, like, waterbeds and stuff like that, rivers, where it's imperfect and is able to provide the structural integrity needed to form concrete for buildings, as opposed to the Sahara Desert sand, where, you know, you look in every direction for 30 miles and all you see is sand, is apparently unable to provide the structural integrity needed to form buildings because it's spherical and smooth, as opposed to jagged and irregularly shaped, basically. So the United Nations is stating in their article that because there is no regulation on the extraction of this type of sand in the world, and it's we're going to be coming to a crisis where all of our sand reserves are taken away, and therefore the cost of construction from a concrete perspective is a cost that's going to be escalating over the next 10 to 20 years. As the reserves run out, our ability to extract it becomes too onerous and too cost ineffective. And, you know, companies like this are, you know, at the start of the solution where, you know, if we're able to mix in other products and maintain the structural integrity of the building material itself, which is, you know, obviously the go-to standard for any high-rise based building. I know we're seeing some mass timber buildings that are, you know, gradually increasing from 4 to 6 to 8 stories. It's going to have a big impact on the market.
And just to dive a tiny bit different, because I had never, I've never really been thinking about sand, but I'm just looking at this. River sand is often preferred, as you mentioned. Desert sand, although abundant, desert sand is typically not suitable for concrete production because of its grains are too rounded and smooth, lacking the angularity needed for a good concrete mix. Sea sand can be used, but requires intense washing to remove the salts and can lead to corrosion of steel and reinforcement of the something. Manufactured sand, also known as M sand, is produced by crushing hard granite. So there's a lot of consideration that goes into this.
Yeah, and one funny small story that they put in that article was that because they do extract a lot of sand from India, there was a riverbed that they had been mass extracting sand from to the point where the water started to run in the other direction. And, you know, the environmental impacts of that, I'm not too certain, but I'm sure that if the river is running in the wrong way, then, you know, I'm sure that has some impacts.
Wow. Okay, let's move on to this next. Let's talk about DIRT. That is DIRTT.com. DIRT. Yes.
This company was founded in 2003 in Calgary. And they are a prefabrication leader for interior spaces. So we've seen a lot of news and headlines on prefabrication for homes, whereas this company specializes in the prefabrication of interior spaces, like whether, again, office spaces is one of the common ones most people think of, but this also works for, they also dive deep into, you know, the hospital space, the commercial spaces, education spaces, stuff like that. Their moniker is that they are looking to speed up the interior fit up process by 30%, refining the budget, less cost overruns, and their spaces are supposed to be built to the precision of 1/16th of an inch. This company has shipped $1 billion globally and currently trades on the stock market under DRT.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts? What do you think about prefabrication?
So, I mean, this is one of the, when we read this story originally, I was thinking if we're talking about in office buildings, I always thought that the way that spaces are built out are often prefabbed, but maybe not. You reminded me of medical office space and a few other things that are a bit more intricate.
I think this works for smaller spaces too, like even for, you know, like the smaller dental offices and stuff like that, where they're able to go in, laser up a space with their measurement devices, pre-plot it, and then just have everything basically printed out.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, now again, we're talking back about affordability a little bit. Like, I think about it in terms of housing and this massive crisis that we have going on in basically every major city in the on the planet, seemingly, certainly in North America. And it makes me think, like, I think there was a story in the news a couple weeks ago about them, this city, it wasn't Toronto, but a city just outside of Toronto, constructing 60 of these prefab houses, and basically as a homeless shelter. And I think each of them cost $40,000 to make. And, you know, it's basically, here you go, here's a one bedroom that we're plopping in the middle of wherever. And we're just doing whatever we can. So I think you'll see more and more innovation in that space. I'm surprised that modular housing hasn't taken off faster. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's not everywhere. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I mean, I'm biased because I'm a multifamily guy, but I'm always thinking about it from the angle of, like, how do you build more housing?
Yeah, and you'd think that it'd be something that would be, even in today's day and age where interest rates are higher and time is in fact more money than it was before, where if you're able to use prefab and speed up construction by, you know, even if it's 6 months, that's still millions of dollars on a six story. I don't know how high prefabrication can go in terms of the vertical height, but you're still saving millions in terms of interest costs, and you're able to just get the product out sooner and faster than traditional builds.
It's interesting. It feels like, at least in Canada, we are held up more by regulation than anything. It seems like a lot of this technology already is fully out there. Like when you see in China, they'll build a building in like a week.
Like, yeah, well, they have the benefit of numbers. I think I've seen them building those types of buildings, and you know, at the front of the gate, when they're about to get let on site, basically the workers are allowed to get on site, there's like 10,000 people there,
right?
And they're all going in with their toolboxes, and there's a lot of people working on that building. I don't think that's the same thing here in Canada, where I think
not enough people.
Yeah, you have like maybe 30 highly specialized guys that are going in and building the building at any given time, but not 10,000.
I think if more Canadians could go. I haven't been to China. You've been a couple times?
Three times,
yeah. So, I mean, I'd like to go. I think if Trudeau could go there without getting kidnapped or made fun of, he should go and understand, oh, this is how it's done. I mean, the Chinese, they know what they're doing.
They also have no red tape. Everything just happens.
Right. Okay. Well, fair enough. Okay, let's move on to our last one. I think we had this on here just to kind of bring up what's happening with Airbnb, but maybe Gary, you can introduce this one, hostaway.com.
Yeah, so hostaway.com, founded in 2015 in Toronto. They've raised $240 million in venture capital funding, and they are an all-in-one vacation rental software for property managers. And this is for, you know, vacation homes, Airbnb, Vrbo, those type of businesses, and then this just integrates with Airbnb and also manages all the billing cycles and all CMS stuff that you need to do in order to have a successful business. The segue of this one, again, they're a great company. They've raised quite a bit of money. Is the implications of the federal and provincial legislation that's coming down the pipeline and has already hit the markets. Specifically for British Columbia, and I believe it was October of this year, 2023, where they are implementing a provincial principal resident requirement for short-term rentals, which are for markets in excess of 10,000 people. So that pretty much impacts most every city in British Columbia, aside from the very minute and small ones, where unless it's your personal residence, you cannot operate an Airbnb.
Yeah, and I think, there's all sorts of regulation in Ontario now too, which has only come in the last couple of years. But you now have to have a license. There's restrictions on how long somebody can stay there. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to push you into longer leases versus shorter leases, so it's more likely to contribute to the housing stock. This story was published a week ago. Trudeau government to crack down on people who profit from short-term rentals like Airbnb. This is from one of the federal government's fiscal meetings. And I'll just read some of the story from the Toronto Star. Ottawa, a narrowly focused fall fiscal update coming on Tuesday from the federal minister Freeland includes a measure designed to make it less lucrative for people to use their properties as short-term rentals. The property owners in areas that are already The property owners in areas that already restrict short-term rentals will no longer be able to claim their rental expenses against their income. So it's just getting less profitable to run Airbnbs. I really enjoyed Max Steinman's take. He's one of the guys that I interact with on LinkedIn. He runs RentSync. And he said, I suppose as a long-term rental marketing platform, I should be happy that this will lead to more rental stock. But as a Canadian, I'm terrified of how many rights, and in particular property rights, we have continued to lose under this federal government. And every action has a reaction. Hotel chains like Marriott and Hilton must be jumping up for joy right now. Canada will set a precedent now for other developed countries that this is an acceptable measure, and the hotel lobbyist groups will use this to their advantage in any way they can on a global scale. And you can just imagine the knock-on effects of this. You know, maybe there's less tourism coming to places like Toronto or Vancouver or wherever. And it's just, yeah, again, government, again, picking winners and losers and more regulation, which in my opinion is almost always bad in the long term.
Yeah, the government is definitely choosing a side here. They're utilizing, you know, the ongoing housing crisis as a news item in order to stuff this legislation down. And, you know, have they even dived into the root cause of what the actual problem of the housing crisis is?
No, you know, it's a finger pointing government
where this is a band-aid solution that has ramifications that they probably aren't even unaware of in terms of, as you said, tourism and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, if you really want to solve the housing crisis, perhaps you build more homes.
Right.
You know,
there's an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this is a good place to end it. Hey guys, if you are listening out there, this is an episode that we threw it together a little quickly, but we're going to really try and get a bit more regular with this tech corner and make sure that we're introducing technologies that are game changing and use it as a way to kind of bring some other issues to the forefront. So thank you for listening. Like, comment, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. And let us know if this is something that you want us to supercharge.
Yeah. And if you guys have any technologies out there that we may have missed, you know, feel free to reach out and do a shout out for any particular company that you think is also game changing.
Awesome. Thanks.